الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Honorable brothers in attendance, viewers of Madani channel, there are many excellences related to sending salawat and salam, peace and blessings upon the best of creation, our hope for salvation, our intercessor, our master, our beloved prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. In one narration we're told that whoever recites salat upon the Prophet alayhi salam 100 times, Allah Ta'ala inscribes between such a person's eyes that he is free from hellfire and free from hypocrisy. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Inshallah, let's make some good intentions prior to listening to the bayan. نِيَّةُ الْمُؤْمِنِ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ عَمَلِهِ. A believer's intention is better than his action. The foremost intention we should make is that we are here, the viewers are watching, only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah. Make the intention that you will listen with utmost attention, avoiding all forms of distractions, inshallah. Also make the intention that whatever you remember, whatever you preserve from the bayan, you will act upon it yourself and invite others to act upon it as well, inshallah. Like this, whenever you get an opportunity to do a good deed, a righteous deed, try to make many good intentions prior to that good deed to multiply your rewards, inshallah. Imam Ghazali, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, in his famous Ihya Ulumuddin, Revival of the Religious Sciences, he mentions a story, a powerful and profound parable. It's as follows. He mentions that once a master took his slave to the marketplace in order to sell him. As you know, many, many centuries ago, slaves were traded in the marketplaces, bought and sold. So this person, he's taken his slave to the marketplace, he's announcing that my slave is for sale, who wants to buy this slave, who wants to purchase this slave. And alongside that, he mentions that my slave has only one flaw, one problem. And that is that he is a tale bearer. He indulges in gossiping, tale tells. That's the only flaw he has. One individual who was there and considered this flaw to be minor, he thought to himself, I'll buy the slave, he'll serve me at home, will benefit me, and this flaw, I can live with that. So what did he do? He purchased the slave, brought the slave home. For the first few days, the slave was in silent mode, was quiet, didn't speak much. And then eventually, the slave, one day, said to the wife of his master, he said to her, you know, your husband, he's having an affair. Soon he'll leave you. And what you should do is, if you want to save him from this, if you want to ensure that he's yours and yours only, when he goes to sleep at night, get a blade or any such object, any such item, cut some of his hair and give me that hair and you'll be saved from this misfortune. He'll be yours only. He'll forget about the other woman. And she was shocked, of course, to hear this. And she thought, okay, when he goes to sleep, this is what I'll do. Thereafter, he goes to the husband, who is the master, and he says to him, do you know your wife? She doesn't love you anymore. She actually loves another individual, another man, and she's waiting to develop and increase her relationship with him. And how will she do this? When you go to sleep at night, she will appear with a sharp object, a blade of some sort, and she will try to kill you. She will try to sever your head. He's shocked as well. What's going on? My wife is thinking like this. My wife is doing this. He's enraged. So now you can imagine the situation. The husband and wife at night, they're in the bedroom. The wife is waiting. He also knows what's about to take place. Well, he seems to know. He thinks that his wife is going to try to kill him, take his life. So when he lies on the bed, he pretends to sleep. He doesn't actually fall asleep. He pretends that he's sleeping. What happens thereafter? The wife pulls out the blade. What's her intention? To remove some hair. But he thinks he's going to strike her and kill her. So as soon as she takes out the blade, he gets up in a fit of rage. And without even listening to what she has to say and what the slave has told her, he takes the blade off her and instead, ma'adallah, he severs her head, kills her, takes her life. Thereafter, the family of the wife, they come running to his house after they've heard what he's done. And without hearing any explanation, they end up killing him as well. So now two lives have been lost. The wife is dead, the husband is dead. Look how dangerous a talebearer is. Look how dangerous someone who indulges in gossip is. That in an instant, his gossiping, his tale-telling can lead to two lives being lost. And here both the husband and wife died. Now, if we look at our communities today, we look at our societies, our neighborhoods, our areas, nobody can say with certainty that our neighborhoods, our communities are free from this vice, this sin of tale-bearing. It's everywhere. And ma'adallah, there are people who are actively trying to pull people apart, destroy relationships, make father go against son, son go against the parents, husband go against wife, vice versa. There are people like this who are active in our communities. Now the thing is, when we know this to be the case, when we know that we have this real threat amongst us, as Muslims, how should we behave? How should we conduct ourselves? And here the ulama guide and they say that when you know there is harm all around you, when you know there are people who are active in trying to break relationships, then you have to be on guard. You have to be wise. You have to use your insight that Allah has blessed you with. You must never allow people to come into your homes, into your relationships, and manipulate you, say things to you that will make you think badly of others. And the example given is, if you have a set of nails and a hammer, if you were to try and hammer those nails into a soft wall, a weak wall, it'll be very easy. Before you know it, you're done. The nail's in the wall. And the second example is a solid wall, a firm wall. No matter how much you try, some walls, it's hard to get the nail in there. The ulama explain, our scholars explain, and they say, you need to be like that solid and firm wall. No matter how much someone tries to manipulate you or fill your mind with evil thoughts regarding others, you must persevere, you must resist, and you must tell that person, no, this is not going to happen. And the other person who allows it, who listens to everyone and anyone, sooner or later he will face trouble because of this attitude of his. So people around you should know what they can say and can't say. If people know that you're so loose, that whatever they say around you, whether they backbite, whether they tell, whether they fill your ears with haram, whatever the case may be, if people know that, they're only going to increase in it. They're going to speak like that more and more at every opportunity. They'll come to your house and do the same. But if you show that, no, this is not on, that I'm trying my best to act upon the Sharia myself, and everybody who's in my proximity, they have to try as well. So the moment someone speaks ill of another person before you, you will alert them, you'll say, no. If you're going to speak like this, then please leave. Don't be offended by what I'm saying, but it's better for both of us. If you are going to backbite another, if you are going to gossip about another person to me, then please leave. Take that elsewhere. This is what we should be like. Not welcoming to anyone and everyone, whether it harms us or benefits us. If it harms us, no. If it benefits us, alhamdulillah. We take benefit from where we can. And here, what does Al-Quranul Kareem tell us in this regard? What does Quran say regarding this? So in Surah Hujurat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions how when a transgressor comes to you, a fasiq comes to you, a sinful person comes to you and he tries to give you some news, then what should you do? You should investigate first of all. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O believers, in ja'akum fasiqum binaba'in. If a fasiq comes to you with some news, fatabayyanu. First of all, you should investigate that news. Not just take their word for it. Whatever they say, it must be right. أَن تُصِيبُوا قَوْمًا بِجَهَالَةٍ Lest you end up harming a community or a nation out of ignorance. You act upon what he said, you're angry and you go and you react, and then you harm someone only later to realize that, wait a minute, that was false news. Whatever they said to me was incorrect. It wasn't true. I should have verified it. فَتُصْبِحُوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلْتُمْ نَادِمِينَ And then you'll be left regretful over what you did. Why did I do this? Why didn't I just think for a moment whether it's true or not? Why didn't I try to investigate it, pursue it, and verify it? Especially when the person who came is not even pious. The Quran describes فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَيْنَ How many people may come to us and they fit this description? But we just take their word for it. Sometimes the danger is that the person who comes to us is in the guise of a pious person. We see that person and we think, oh, he can't be lying. He performs his 5 daily salah. Whenever you see him, he has a tasbih in his hand. He gives sadaqah. He does this good deed and that good deed. He can't be lying. Sometimes we are duped like this. Sometimes we get done over like this. Why? Because we think the person's credible. Outwardly, he seems pious. He has taqwa. Alamat, signs of taqwa upon him. But sometimes such people use that, ma'adallah, use that external appearance to manipulate others, to confuse others, to get others on their side. So we have to be very wary in this day and age that we live in. We have to be very, very careful. Once what happened, there was a king and he found out that so-and-so was speaking ill of him. Well, he was told that so-and-so is speaking ill of him. Somebody came to the king and said, so-and-so is speaking wrongly regarding you. So the king summoned this individual and said to him, did you say this regarding me? And he replied and he said, O king, how could I ever say something like that regarding you? I would never say something like that regarding you. The king was adamant. He said, no, you must have said it. You must have said it. So-and-so told me. In the corner of the room, there happened to be a God-fearing person. And he said to the king, Tambih, as a reminder to the king, he said, O king, you're saying so-and-so is credible. Can someone who comes and gossips to you be credible? And the king realized straight away that anyone who comes to you, and outwardly he seems pious, he fits all the criteria, but if he's coming to you with this intention to fill your ears regarding someone else, how can he be pious in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How is that possible? You will never find examples like this from the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is the most pure human being, ever went to someone and spoke to someone, gossiped regarding another just to harm the relationship. Allahu Akbar. In fact, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam time and time told us again regarding the harms of tale-telling. The Sahaba radiyallahu anhum ajma'in, even they tried their utmost to avoid gossiping as well. But here it's happening today. Here it's happening. Whether it's out of jealousy, whether it's out of hatred, whatever the case may be. But people are doing this. Some people can't stomach the fact that another person has become successful or has some status in society. So they'll go to another person and say, oh, you know, so-and-so who's recently graduated or recently got a promotion, they've been saying this about you. And that person says, oh, did he actually say that about me? Yes, he did. And before you know it, they're at loggerheads, they're arguing with each other, fighting with each other, and this person leaves. Because mission accomplished for him. He's thinking that I've done my job. I wanted them to argue between each other. I'm successful now. Now I can leave the scene. Now this is happening in our society today. And what it is that we don't have knowledge of spiritual diseases. Batini amrad. Ala Hazrat Imam Ahli Sunnat, Maulana Shah Ahmad Raza Khan Ali Rahmah, amongst other scholars before him as well, they said learning about spiritual diseases is from the fard ulum, is from those knowledge, that knowledge which is obligatory to learn. Meaning if you don't learn about the heart, if you don't learn about how these spiritual diseases, they invalidate your good deeds, you'll be in a lot of trouble. If you don't know what jealousy is from the off, if you don't know what gossiping means, if you don't know the definition of backbiting, if you don't know the definition of hypocrisy, if you don't know the definition of riya, ostentation, how are you going to save yourselves from them when you don't know the actual definition, the very definition? So this fard ulum is necessary for me, you and everyone to learn. There's no excuse. Once you learn this fard ulum, that's the first step. You've just become a muttaqi Muslim now. Don't think you become a qutb or one of the awtad or nujaba or the high-ranking saints. You've just met the definition of a pious Muslim. And today we go throughout our entire lives where we don't study this knowledge. We don't study knowledge about the spiritual diseases. And remember, this is not something that the ulama have obligated. This is found in Al-Quran Al-Kareem itself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the 8th para of the Quran, what does he say? He says, وَذَرُوا ظَاهِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَبَاطِنَ. That you need to leave, Allah is ordering, and leave external sins and internal sins as well. So external sins people know about. People know about thieving, people know about hurting others, fighting with others, abusing others with their tongue, swearing at others. People know about this. And generally, people try to avoid these things. But internal diseases, a person could be in Baytullah al-Haram and committing a spiritual sin, meaning a disease of the heart could be inflicting him whilst he's in front of Kaaba Musharrafah as well. He's sitting there, but he's praying against his fellow Muslims. He's sitting there and he's thinking bad about his fellow Muslims. So these are things that we need to avoid at all costs. And in our society, and the way we are going, the direction we are going in, this is very, very important to learn. Every other family you find complaints like this, problems like this. That so-and-so came and he filled the ears of a certain relative and now they've fallen out with each other. Sometimes it's over wealth, sometimes it's over land back home, sometimes it's over achievements, sometimes it's over something else. And it's rampant, it's prevalent in our community. And unless we assess our situation, unless we take account of ourselves, this is only going to get worse. Remember, the time of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in, that was the most purest era in Islam. And thereafter, generation by generation, we're seeing this degeneracy. We're seeing people, even from 20 years ago, how much have we fallen from 20 years ago? 20 years ago, if someone wanted to do something wrong, or if they did something wrong, then they saw an elderly person walk by, they would move to a side or move to another location. They felt shame in their hearts, even though what they're doing was not correct. But they felt shame and they would move. And now the situation is, it doesn't matter who walks past, who goes past by. Sometimes, in fact, to infuriate that person, they increase in what they're doing, whether it's taking drugs or any other thing. So once you lose haya, once you lose that modesty that is there to prevent you from sins, then you'll fall more deeply into sins. That's why the Prophet ﷺ in narration said that when you lose all haya, then do what you like. Meaning that is what will happen. You will do what you like. You won't listen to anybody. When someone gives you nasiha, you will ignore it. And there's another narration that when you commit a sin and you do not repent, then a black dot occurs on the heart and increases the more you sin. But if you repent, the black dot is removed. If you continuously sin, there'll come a time when those black dots engulf your entire heart. And then what happens? The narration says, when such a person is given nasiha, advice, he doesn't listen to it. Meaning, in other words, Allah Ta'ala has taken tawfiq away from such a person to act upon that advice. Because he has a rusty heart now. كَلَّا بَلْ رَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ That's what the Quran tells us about. Rather, it is that rust that has accumulated on their hearts due to what they earned. What they did, day and night, sinning. And this is happening. So, we need to learn about these spiritual diseases. Where are we going to learn? Some of the accounts that I've mentioned are taken from Ihya al-Ulum and other books of Imam Ghazali, rahmatullahi alayhi. Imam Ghazali is the master physician. Imam Ghazali, rahmatullahi alayhi, is that individual who had everything. If you read his biography, if you read about his blessed life, you will find that he was the leading scholar of his time. Whilst he was alive, people would quote his opinions. Imagine that, you're such a massive scholar that whilst you're alive and breathing, people are saying, Qala al-Ghazali. Ghazali said this about this matter. Meaning that's how much weight your opinion holds. But Imam Ghazali, the more he studied, Allah Ta'ala opened for him his inner eye. He found out about the dunya and the realities of the dunya. The expositions of the heart. He found out about the ajaibat of the heart. That's when he left all of that. He shunned all of that. In fact, he would enter certain places where the moment he would hear people quoting him, he would leave that place. He didn't like it. Because that's how much of an authority he was. He had changed his life for the better. Now, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us with an enormous scholar like Imam Ghazali, rahmatullahi alayhi, and he tells us about the diseases of the heart. He pinpoints, intricately speaks about each and every spiritual disease. And when you read his books, it's like he's directly talking to you and me. It's like he's talking to us. Look, you've got this problem in you. Get rid of it before it harms you, before it destroys you. And he wrote so many books. Ihya Ulumuddin is his masterpiece work. He has Minhajul Abideen. Mukashafatul Qulub is also attributed to Imam Ghazali, rahmatullahi alayhi. These are all books that are available today. If you go to the bookshop outside, you can pick up the works of Imam Ghazali. You can pick up works on spiritual diseases of the heart. Jealousy, hatred, cutting ties, severing relations. These kind of sins you will read about. But the issue is today, unless it's not a controversial matter, we don't want to listen to it. We don't want to hear about it. Today we become a public or an ummah who only gets excited when we hear about controversial topics. If we're asked to clean our heart, to preserve our heart, to polish our hearts, we're not interested. But remember, there are people within the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who have polished their hearts. There are people within this dunya who have worked day and night, struggled against their nafs, and they may be hidden from us. They may be discreet. In fact, in some narrations we're told of certain khas awliyaullah, who if people did not hear about them, or if they did not see them, they wouldn't even ask about them. Meaning they're so discreet. But those very same people, if they take a qasam upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah jalla wa ala will fulfill their oaths. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fulfill their wishes. These are people who have purified themselves. And Al-Quran Al-Kareem tells us, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى The one who purified himself has succeeded. He is the truly successful person. Today, our criteria for success and how we monitor success is totally different. How many houses does a person have? How many businesses or income streams he has? His status in society, his job role. And don't get me wrong, to a certain extent, these things are helpful in the dunya. There's no haraj in Muslims doing these things. But if that's the only goal in life, then we've lost the purpose of life. Because these things were to help us to fulfill our actual goal and purpose, which is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be good to His creation, to show good conduct towards His creation. And this second part, dealing with creation, mu'amalat, is very important. Huququllah, on one side, you have your ibadah, you have worshipping Allah, praying your salah, fasting in Ramadan, giving your zakat, performing hajj when it's obligatory upon you. These are all necessary. But then the second aspect, huququl ibad, where you are good towards others, you deal with them in a nice manner, you show akhlaq hasana, you don't deceive others, you don't defraud others. These are also part of the deen as well. In fact, there's a narration in Sahih Muslim which talks about the muflis, the bankrupt one. The Prophet ﷺ asked the Sahaba, who is the muflis? And they thought Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was talking about the dunya and what that entails. They said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we think the muflis is the one who has no dirham, no dinar, no mata, no possessions. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no. The muflis that I'm referring to is the one who is bankrupt on the Day of Judgment. On the Day of Judgment, he will come, he will have offered his salah, he will have fulfilled his zakat, he will have done the ibadah that was required of him. But on the other hand, he will have hurt someone's feelings. He will have abused another individual. He will have usurped the rights of another. These things are happening today. We need to be very fearful. And in spiritual diseases, many a times they go unnoticed. Remember, if somebody in his heart is thinking ill of another person, is jealous towards another person, or is committing riya, then he doesn't say that on his forehead. It's not apparent. Other sins, outward sins, you can see that. Many a times the culprits are arrested, justice is dealt. But these inner sins, that's why it's very important to save ourselves from them. We were speaking earlier on about namima, and that is gossiping, tale-bearing. This is very common in our society. It's ruining relationships today. It's destroying relationships today. So first of all, we need to know the definition. What was the definition of gossiping, tale-bearing? That when one person, he goes to an individual, and he says to him, you know so-and-so, he was saying this about you. Then he goes to that other individual and he says, you know so-and-so, meaning the first person, he was saying this about you. And like this, he breaks up their relationship. Like this, he causes a conflict between them. Like this, he causes them to fight with one another. And this is happening today. Whether it's in marriages, someone gets married and people are trying the utmost to get the newlywed, the couple to split up. They're trying the hardest. Once they've done so, they're out of the picture. For them, they say, it's mission accomplished. I've done it now. Similarly, if someone knows another person is very close to someone and they don't like that, they'll use gossiping again, tale-bearing. Oh, he said this about you. He said he was going to do this, going ahead. And then the relationship is destroyed. So these things are happening in our community, in our society, all around us. We have to be wary. We have to be on guard. And we have to realize that everything we do is being recorded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the dunya, sometimes we think we got away with it. But remember, if a person wasn't punished for their sin in the dunya, and they did not do tawbah in the dunya, then there is Yawmuddin, the day of recompense, when they will be taken to a task. That relationship that they caused to break down, that conflict that they caused, that discord, the seeds of discord that they sowed between two people, it will be made apparent to everyone. And imagine on the Day of Judgment when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the shari'a, the legislator, the one who told us to stay away from this, if he's there before us and we have to account, we'll be destroyed. We'll dissolve out of embarrassment and shame. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is so caring for the ummah, so loving towards the ummah, that in one narration, which I'll summarize, he mentioned how just as flies, moths, they fall into the fire and they don't realize that that will harm them. He says, this is the case of my ummah as well. There's a fire and they're all rushing towards that fire. And I am pulling them back from their waist belt. This is the words of the hadith, and I am pulling them away from the fire. yet they want to fall into the fire of hell. So as Muslims, we need to realize the seriousness of the matter, that our actions, they have a massive consequence, not on current relationships alone, but on coming relationships. When you cause two people to conflict with one another, go to war with one another, harm one another, then that not only affects their relationship, but it affects the relationship of their children as well. It affects the relationship the coming generations as well. So we need to be amongst those who reconcile between people. We have great examples in the Ummah. Look at Imam Hassan Mujtaba radiallahu ta'ala, the grandson of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That when something occurred between the Sahaba, it was Sayyidina Imam Hassan radiallahu ta'ala who reconciled between the Muslims, just as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had prophesied when he said, Ibni hadha Sayyid, that this son of mine is a master, is a leader, and he will reconcile between two Muslim groups who will be in conflict with one another. And what did Imam Hassan radiallahu ta'ala undo? He saw the bigger picture. He wanted to save the Muslim Ummah from further strife and difficulty. So we have great examples in the Ummah how people have reconciled for the betterment of the Muslim Ummah. But here on the other hand, today we see people gossiping, tale-bearing, causing friction between people, and they actively engage in this, they enjoy this as well. And the Quran has told us that when someone comes to you who is a fasiq, who is a transgressor, and that person comes to you with some news, verify that news first and foremost. Don't just listen to what that person says. Which muttaqi person, which pious person will come to you and try to fill your ears regarding someone else? It doesn't happen. So people with sinister intentions, with evil intentions, with diseased hearts, which they haven't purified, which they haven't polished, they will come and they will do these kind of things. And it's happening in our neighborhoods, in our communities, in our societies. We get asked about these things all the time. So nobody likes to be around him. Why? Because he's always causing discord between people. So in certain situations, when you know that, it's better to distance yourself. Try and educate others. Try and act upon the teachings of the deen yourself. But if you feel somebody, he tries his utmost to cause this friction between others, gossips, is a tale bearer, then Sharia in many cases gives ijazah to distance yourself from certain people. But you must also consult with the ulama, because sometimes in the matter of silatul rahim, you have to be very wary. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَاتَّقُوا الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامِ. In the last part of the verse, specifically he speaks about arham, the blood relations. And many a times the matters are trivial, we blow them out of proportion. If we get a senior person, a mufti sahab or scholar involved, the matter can be resolved. And we're saved from breaking blood relations with others. So inshallah, everything is done with wisdom. The bayan today was about gossiping, tale-bearing, namima, chughal-khori. This is something that removes love between people, distances people. We need to avoid this at all costs. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq in this regard. Amen. Grant us the ability to purify our hearts and intentions. Ameen. Bijahin Nabil Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. May Dawate Salami be glorious in every corner of the world. For the sake of Medina, we are calling upon you, Allah.